Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The news from the Institute of the Study of War is strange, and I need Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired artilleryman, CBS News, visiting Professor Dickinson College and the CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy to help me understand this report. Remember, in war, the first three reports are wrong, so be careful. But this is amazing. Former commander of the 58th Combined Arms Army, Major General Ivan Popov, claimed in leaked audio that Russian Defense Minister Shoigu dismissed him for expressing persistent grievances about problems on the Western Zaporizhia Oblast front line to senior commanders. Russian State Duma deputy and former deputy commander of the Southern Military District, Lieutenant General Andrei Gurilev, leaked Popov's audio message July 12, in which Popov stated that Russian command fired him for expressing grievances over the lack of support for Russian forces and replaced him with Lieutenant General Denis Lyman. Popov claimed that he expressed concerns to the highest level of Russian command over the lack of Russian counter-battery fire, the absence of artillery reconnaissance stations, significant Russian casualties from Ukrainian artillery fire, and other issues. Jeff, I turn to you because your experience as a commander in the field, which Popov was until he was relieved, tells me that you have insight about this that I can't get from the geopolitical voices. What does this tell you about not only Popov, but the men who are in the front lines he commanded until the 12th of July? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Well, this could be one, you might say, unhappy commander, but it comes into context of broader comments made by a host of people, not the least of which being good old Mr. Prigozhin, when he began his March for Justice, which is what he was called, his March on Moscow, making similar complaints against General Gerasimov, chief of the Russian General Staff, and Minister of Defense Shoigu. But they were incompetent, number one, and number two, they were providing inadequate assistance and support to troops in the field. And as a consequence, Russian forces were suffering unnecessary casualties. You know, John, and the fundamental thing about troops in the field is trust, trust in their commanders, trust in each other, and trust in those commanders all the way back to their capital is fundamental to their morale. And when they believe that that trust has been broken, then morale is in danger. So when you have this incident with Prigozhin, when you have this comment by Ivan Popov saying on behalf of the troops, this is what is occurring. And you also have it in the context where we've seen a number of senior Russian officers suddenly disappearing or being replaced. General Savorkin, the so-called General Armageddon, who had been commander of all Ukrainian forces, Russian forces, I should say, in Ukraine, now home resting, though most people believe, or was arrested. Then you get an indication that that trust may, in fact, have been broken between the Russian military in the field and its leadership in Moscow.
The general was very specific about what is not happening that he needs. Counter-battery warfare capabilities and artillery reconnaissance stations. What does that mean, Jeff?
What that means is your ability to take out, identify the location of enemy artillery and take it out, so-called conducting counter-battery fire. And the Russian Soviet military had been well known for being very good at that, a skill apparently they've lost. But as we've talked frequently, John, this war has become, in many ways, an artillery war. Artillery, the so-called king of battle, is likely to be the biggest killer on the battlefield. And what Popov is basically saying is we're doing a poor job in defending our troops, in identifying Ukrainian artillery, in engaging that Ukrainian artillery, but allowing it to rain down destruction on our forces. And as a consequence, our guys are dying unnecessarily.
In 1944, the plot was known as Valkyrie. it was a gathering of German senior officers, including generals and colonels, men who had been in the field, to replace Adolf Hitler, because the war was going so badly, they all conceded that they were going to lose to the Russians and the Americans unless. The plan was to turn to the Americans and say, we surrender to you a separate peace and we'll fight the Russians together. At some point, and it's never been clear when, the chief of staff to Erwin Rommel approached him and asked him if he'd participate. Not only that, the idea was that Rommel had the fame to replace Hitler, to lead the country, to defend itself from the Soviet attacks from the east. Rommel, we're told, turned it down, but did not inform on his chief of staff or on the plot. Jeff, that sounds very, very possible that that's what's going on here. These are senior officers, one commanding the trenches, another commanding a private army that was very successful, and Gerasimov is not out of the reach, but Surovikin, he was an inspiration to at least one, maybe two generations of Russians. Can we say that the army is at least capable of entertaining replacing Putin?
Well, it certainly seems to be the case, and something I'm sure Mr. Putin is worried about. In the aftermath of the aborted mutiny by Prigozhin, what I think we're seeing is the beginning of a purge of Russian military officers, ensuring, if you're Vladimir Putin, that those placed in command are ultimately loyal to him being the number one requirement. And we see that, of course, with the arrest of Savorkin, the disappearance of all these officers, and the comments by Popov and others. At the same time, Igor Girkin, who was a military officer and very important in the initial Russian foray into Ukraine in the Donbass back in 2014, and now a very influential mill blogger in Russia, has been writing over the last few days that there are people now around Putin, the so-called people coming out of St. Petersburg, the Siloviki, who are actively talking and plotting amongst themselves to remove Mr. Putin, replace him with Prigozhin, replace him with others, as a distinct possibility. Now, to some, it might not be surprising that you would hear that kind of talk during a conflict, but Girkin entertains thousands and thousands of Russians on his Telegram channel, number one. And number two, the fact that he can get away writing these things and doesn't suddenly disappear or fall out of a multi-story building lends, I think, greater credibility to what he's saying.
Well, we now have our dark questions about the Russian senior staff. This isn't the men in the field. This isn't the non-coms and the junior officers. These are the stars, and they all know each other, and they all watch each other. We leave it alone, and we move to a decision made by the President of the United States for cluster munitions to be sent to Ukraine. Jeff, what does a cluster munition do on the battlefield? What does it mean for the Ukrainians if they have this capability?
Well, these cluster munitions, also called DPICM, dual-purpose improved conventional munitions, are launched over the battlefield either out of the 155 in our artillery shell or out of the Gimler's rocket launcher. And what it does is it explodes over the target area, dispensing these bomblets, which then fall to the battlefield, some being the size of a baseball or a softball. Upon hitting the ground, they bounce up and explode like so many grenades and are very, very effective against ground troops, particularly ground troops in trenches or ground troops found in the open. When I was a commander of an artillery battalion during the Gulf War back in 1991, my battalion alone delivered well over 1,000 DPICM on Iraqi targets, and with devastating effect, frankly, on their defensive positions, which in many ways were not terribly different than the defensive positions that the Russians have created in this particular conflict, to the point that when we interrogated Iraqi prisoners when they surrendered, they referred to the DPICM as Iron Rain, Iron Rain. And when asked, they would tell you that they found it, they disliked it the most of anything, with the possible exception of B-52 strikes. So it is very effective. It's one downside, which has caused a furor amongst at least 100 countries, is that there's a very high dud rate, depending on soil, snow, sand, marshy areas, allow a large number of these bomblets not to explode in their duds. And in fact, we would actually mark areas where we had delivered lots of DPICM as the hasty minefield. And I had at least a couple of soldiers in my battle group who were wounded, who were messing around with these bomblets. In past, we've seen in some countries in the Balkans and elsewhere, in the aftermath of the use of DPICM, the children would play with these bomblets that were duds, and sadly resulting in a large number of casualties. And that's why over 100 countries have signed an agreement to ban them. That does not include, however, the United States, Ukraine, or Russia. And Russia has used these extensively already in this conflict against the Ukrainians.
We just have a few seconds. Is it your measure that this will give the Ukrainian counteroffensive opportunity that it does not enjoy? This will advance the story? 30 seconds.
It certainly may, as we thought, to devastating effect. But I think more importantly, what it underscores is just how desperate they are for just outright ammunition.
Right.
And that we're running out of 155 ammunition. And this may be the stopgap between what they have now and when we start seeing the arrival of more ammunition as we expand our production capabilities.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS News. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like Bad Dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.